You're listening to The Point. The Kennedy family has long had a passion for sailing. James Graham's new book, Victoria the Kennedys, A Sailboat and the Sea, chronicles four generations of the Kennedy family sailing aboard their small boat, Victoria. And James Graham joins us in studio this morning. Welcome.
Thanks.
Okay, so this, there have been many books written about the Kennedy family. This one takes a little different view. You're looking at the relationship with sailing. And in a lot of ways, this was a learning experience on many levels for the entire Kennedy family.
Yeah, it was. And you know, one of the things that I think distinguishes this story from others about the Kennedys is that it tells a story of the family over many generations, and it pulls together many members of the family who all have this one common thing in common, which is this love of sailing and the sea, and of course this one boat in particular called the Victoria. But the family has owned the Victoria was actually the first of many Wieno senior class sailboats that the family owned over the many years and still own to this day and race together. But the idea of the story was to really take a look at the family from a different perspective and begin to understand, hopefully, the chemistry that developed between each of them as they grew up together, beginning in the 30s with that famous generation, the children of Joe and Rose. Mm.
Victoria, not a large vessel, but as you said, she's a classic. Can you describe the Victoria for folks who maybe aren't familiar with different kinds of classes of sailboats?
It's a 25-foot sloop, shallow keel, because of the Nantucket Sound shallows can boats often run aground, so it doesn't have much draft. And it has a gaff rig, which means that it has both unlike a traditional Marconi rig, which is that triangle you see on most sailboats. This has a four-sided mainsail with a boom that extends from the upper part of the mast. And they were all made of wood until fairly recently. Now they make them out of fiberglass out at the Crosby Yacht Yard in Osterville. And they're just a beautiful boat to look at. And I remember seeing the Victoria at the JFK Library and Museum in Boston about 20 years ago and just being charmed at it. I really thought it was one of the most charming artifacts in any presidential museum that I had seen.
Is that what got you prompted to do the book?
Well, you know, I love to sail myself, and I love sailboats. And I remember seeing it and thinking, gosh, I'd love to have a sailboat like that myself. And then, you know, 20 years goes by, and I was actually at this point time in my life when I was interested in trying my hand at writing a history of some kind. And I happened to be paying attention to the news when Ted Kennedy passed away in 2009. And I learned that of all the various people who got up and gave eulogies for Ted Kennedy at a couple of memorial services, and there were many, including the president, four different people got up and told stories of sailing with Ted on the Victoria. Now, this is a boat that's always been associated with President Kennedy, but here I find that all of these friends and family of Ted Kennedy associated him with that boat, and they felt that, you know, here's a guy who's been in the U.S. Senate for 47 years, the lion of the Senate, and these folks feel that they're really getting at the essence of Ted Kennedy was to understand his relationship to this little boat.
Yeah.
That was just the start. I learned so much more as I did my research and found out so many other wonderful stories about the sailing the Victoria and the other sailboats. Yeah.
And I mean, the family was, they're passionate sailors. They still are. And so what do you think it is about sailing that's so central to the Kennedy family?
Well, of course, Joe and Rose moved the family to the Hyannis port and bought that famous house in the mid-1920s and got the kids interested in sailing right away. They didn't really sail themselves. They, you know, very competitive family, of course, and they really took to that sport. Joe and Rose really, you know, pushing them to be competitive. You know, coming in second was never good enough. They always had to win. And winning was, you know, almost anything. And they just, over time, it was not just the competitive sport itself, but I believe the relationships that they began to form with one another and the thing that pulled them together. Of course, they were competitive against one another as well. Joe and Jack were famously, Joe Jr. and Jack were famously constantly fighting and competing mm-hmm. against one another. But they it really became something that they looked forward to when they came to the Cape and still to this day get out on Wieno Seniors just like the Victoria.
Yeah, and you have an image of JFK doodling Victoria on a piece of paper the day before he was shot. Talk about the significance of that image.
Well, yeah, he when the day before he was shot in Dallas, he spent the night at a hotel in Fort Worth and doodled on a piece of paper and left the piece of paper in his hotel room. And it was just typical of him, because when he would be in Oval Office meetings, he'd be doodling notes all throughout the Cuban Missile Crisis. There's one of the surviving doodles is reproduced in the book, and it's from a meeting. I think it was a meeting involving the Cuban Missile Crisis. And it just is an indication of how that helped him put everything in perspective. You know, John F. Kennedy had on his desk a little plaque that said, "Oh God, thy sea is so great and my boat is so small." And it's really fascinating to me to think about this man who at that time was, of course, the most powerful man in the world, always placing himself mentally back at the Cape. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, maybe it was escape, maybe it was putting life in perspective, maybe it just helped him contemplate the universe in a different yeah. way, but it was fascinating.
Well, when you think about that connection with the sea, and I'm thinking of Ted Kennedy now as well. He did a lot of painting, and he painted the sea in his boats, and so maybe that he had that same image that John F. Kennedy had.
Yeah, Ted, that's right. Ted took a painting, and actually JFK did some painting. I don't know if any of those paintings survive. It's an interesting thing about, you know, they love sailing, but they also love the imagery and the poetry of sailing and the art of the sea. So Ted, yeah, as you're right, he made some paintings of his own. But one of the things that I recount in the book is the story in 1963 when the three sisters of Robert and Ted and Jack Kennedy, of course, President Kennedy is in the White House. The three sisters commission an artist to make three paintings, one for each of their brothers, and each painting depicting that brother and their wife on the Victoria. And their intent was to give that to the three brothers for Christmas 1963. But of course, the assassination cut short their opportunity to give that painting to the president.
There were numerous images published of Jack and Jackie aboard the Victoria, and you write these images helped shape the winning Kennedy brand in the 1950s. What do you think the images conveyed to the public about the Kennedys?
Well, it conveys a number of things, and it even goes as far back as 1934 when Boston Globe sent a photographer over to Hyannis Port to take pictures of Kennedy children. There's a photo of JFK and Robert on the bow of the Victoria in that year. Into the 1940, Life magazine sent Alfred Eisenstadt, the famous photographer, to stand on the bow and take pictures of the family sailing the Victoria. And then in 1953, there is probably the most famous picture of the Kennedys sailing of all, which is also on the cover of the book, which is the one of a young Senator John F. Kennedy and his fiancée, Jacqueline Kennedy, or Bouvier at that time, on the bow of the Victoria. And it as they approached the run for the White House, I think they saw the sailing on the Victoria as a way to showcase the youth and vigor and health of the president, even though throughout his life he'd suffered many health problems.
You know, it's interesting because that cover, the photo you're talking about on the cover, I mean, it really, look at their faces. It just, looks like sheer joy.
It does. And there are many other pictures of John F. Kennedy in particular sailing, and you could tell he just absolutely loved it. There are a few pictures right in the summer before the presidential race in which they showed John F. Kennedy sailing it. He's obviously not by himself because there's a photographer up forward, but it's just him sailing, and you can tell he's just having a blast out there on the water.
Alfred Lord Tennyson's poem Ulysses was special to both Jack and Jackie. It tells the tale of an aging mariner king who's not content to sit idle at the throne and yearns to reclaim his glorious past and journey out to sea. In fact, Jack uses quotes from Ulysses in several speeches. What is it about Ulysses you think resonated with John F. Kennedy?
There are probably a number of things, and what's interesting about that poem is that it actually all goes back to a 10-year-old girl named Jacqueline Bouvier who memorized the poem with the help of her grandfather and had that committed to memory all throughout her life. There's even a moment in 1959 when John F. Kennedy was trying to he's up at the dais about to give a speech, and he hands his speech over to Jackie and says, writes a note that says, give me the last lines of Ulysses. And she wrote it all out from memory, the last several lines that begin, come, my friends, 'tis not too late to seek a newer world. And I think, you know, there was an element of this mariner king who longs for his days of glory. And you wonder if a President Kennedy thought of his glorious days during World War II and as a young man sailing. I mean, he was young, of course, when he died, but we all, you know, long for our youth in some one way or another. And what's also fascinating, what fascinated me about that poem was that after John F. Kennedy used it in so many of his speeches and then died, Robert Kennedy began to quote from that same poem in his speeches and even drew a line from the poem for the title of a book that he published. And then he, of course, was assassinated. And Ted Kennedy, when he was running for president in 1980, eventually had to concede defeat to the incumbent president, Jimmy Carter. And in that speech, the one that the most famous line being, the dream shall never die. But before he got to those famous concluding lines, he quoted from Ulysses. And to this day, there's, for example, one of the grandchildren of that generation, Connor Kennedy, memorized that poem for a high school assignment and recited it in full. So it's a wonderful tradition, just like sailing itself.
Yeah. What led you to the idea that the Kennedys' love of sailing influenced JFK's pursuit of space exploration?
Well, you know, I don't try to argue that it's a direct cause and effect in which his love of sailing made him want America to sail to the moon. And no one would make that argument. But I certainly do think that it influenced his perception of that as a race that had real symbolic and importance. Eisenhower really thought it was a crazy idea. I mean, he could have set us on a course to the moon, but he thought it was much more important to invest the money in satellites and the things of more practical application to us on Earth. But John F. Kennedy, seeing that we were trailing the Soviets at that time in 1961, where they were able to do much more in space at that time than we were, felt that establishing this distant finish line, as it were, a race, would really motivate Americans. And also, and he said repeatedly, it was mostly in private, he said it wasn't the science, it was the symbolic importance of establishing America's preeminence in technology and space. And he used the metaphors of the sea to describe space exploration. He referred to astronauts as spacefarers. And he said, this is a new ocean and we must sail it. And so I think that culture of the sea and sailing and the love of mariners really did influence his thinking when it came to to space travel.
Yeah. You talk about the Kennedy mythology and its importance to today's Kennedy children. How is sailing a part of that? And what does being a sailor impart upon a person?
Well, it does a lot of things, I think. One of the things that I heard so often from members of the Kennedy family that I interviewed was that everybody has a role to play when you're sailing a boat. One person may be at the tiller, but somebody else has to pull in the jib sheet or pull in the main sheet or go forward and grab a line that came loose. And they all felt that whether they're racing or cruising, it wasn't just the parent in charge, it was everybody having a role to play. And of course there was the spirit of competition. Again and again I heard this theme of coming from behind. Don't give up the race. You still have a chance even if you're behind. And that's a really wonderful lesson from politics. You know, Ted Kennedy once spoke of it was actually at the dedication of the JFK Library in Boston, and he was speaking of his brother. He said, Jack taught me to ride a bicycle, throw a forward pass, and sail against the wind. And clearly, he was referring to the sport, but also to something much, much more important when he referred to sailing against the wind. And that was the world of politics, where sometimes if you're going to be a leader, you have to be willing to take some chances and take some unpopular positions and get ahead of an issue.
Right. And also, Jack's experience with sailing may have had an impact in helping him survive the sinking of his PT boat in the Pacific.
Ted Kennedy was interviewed on the topic of Wiano senior sailboats, and he specifically said that he believed that it was John F. Kennedy's experience learning seamanship on the Victoria that he credited with saving his life during World War II. And of course, it wasn't just being a good sailor, it was being a good swimmer. JFK did become a very good sailor, or swimmer, excuse me. And that became critical when his PT boat 109 was sunk, because he had to help his crew get to shore, and he actually had to tow one of his crewmates by grasping the strap of his flotation device in his mouth and towing him ashore.
The Kennedy family, of course, has grown over the generations, and that tradition of sailing, as we're saying, has carried over. You had the experience of sailing with some of the members of the Kennedy family aboard Glide. What was that like?
Oh, it was wonderful. I really didn't expect to be able to do that. The son of Robert and Ethel, Chris Kennedy, invited me to sail on a boat just like a Weano senior sailboat, just this one called Ptarmigan, but it was just like the Victoria, of course. And after that sail, he invited me to join the family on their bigger boat, Glide, with Ethel and Ethel Kennedy, his mother, and Ted Jr. and Max, his brother, and Sheila Kennedy and Kiki Kennedy. And it was just a delight. And they shared many stories with me, one of which had to do with Ethel Kennedy's. She would sail every day and just loved it, and would take the kids out. And, 12:30, you got to be on the dock and go out. But she always she really firmly believed in the notion that a sailboat always has right of way over a powerboat, no matter how big the powerboat. So if there was one of those big Nantucket ferries coming through the channel at Hyannis Port, at Hyannis, she would not necessarily get out of the way. And I had a chance to ask her about that and about her feud with the ferry captains. And she clearly saw herself as a David to the ferry captain's Goliath, because she said, sometimes when you're big, it goes to your head.
So you obviously had to do quite a bit of research for the book, and you had the cooperation of the Kennedy family, which a lot of people writing books about the Kennedys don't have. So that was helpful. Did you get a lot of the photos and things from the family members? I mean, where did your photos and things come from?
Most of the historic photos come from the JFK Library and Museum, and then some from other news photographers who license the photos. For example, one photographer named Hi Peskin was the photographer who took the cover of Life magazine that's on the cover of the book. And there's an Eisenstadt photo I mentioned in the book as well. So those are our sources. Some of the photos I actually took myself. I happened to be on one of the tour boats out of Hyannis a couple of years ago, and I saw a Weano senior sailboat going by, and I got my camera out and I took some pictures of it. And it was just a beautiful day, and there's a handsome man waving at me from the boat, and I looked at it later, and I zoomed in on my computer and discovered the name of the boat was Dingle, and that was Mark Shriver sailing the boat.
We have some book signings coming up tonight. You'll be at Bunch of Grapes on the Vineyard at 7 p.m. Friday you'll be at the Brewster Bookstore from 10 to noon, and then you'll be back in August 13th at the JFK Museum in Hyannis at 6 p.m. and we'll have all of that up on our website, capeandislands.org. James Graham, his book is Victoria, the Kennedys, A Sailboat, and the Sea. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Indy Todd. Thanks for listening.
Amy Vince produces The Point, with assistance from Jenny Junker. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter. The Point is a production of the Cape and Islands NPR stations, a service of WGBH.